And here tonight with you with the Shepherd's Call. WWCR worldwide, around the world, on the Jewel of the South. We're transmitting tonight on the Mighty Voice Christian Radio. WWCR. Call a friend and tell them the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on tonight. We've got part four coming up for you on the first fruits. And we're going to add into the timeline of the thousand-year reign. You don't want to miss this one, ladies and gentlemen. It will be very, very informative and interesting in timelines. You see, we're living in perilous times. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, during the lull, if you will, when people are eating and drinking and being merry, and all of these signs are being revealed in the last days through various means. The signs of the times, nature is displaying her signs. The prophetic utterance of God's prophets across the earth, wherever they are bringing the message to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, a covenant people in a coveted place in the heart of those who are his. He came for his sheep. And tonight we're going to discuss the thousand-year reign and what it means to those who are looking or wondering. If you've ever wondered about the thousand-year reign, you're going to enjoy tonight's message. If you can keep up, we're going to Hosea tonight to begin the timeline. And we're going to look at Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 for you Bible students, and Matthew 26, 2, and 2 Peter 3 and 8. We're going to use those three scriptures as a basis of our foundation to lay a gestalt of evidence out for you tonight, the Bible searchers, the Bible readers, the Bible studiers, those who love Yah, and those who have kept the faith, and those who have not denied his name. This is a meat subject tonight, and we're going to discuss these meat items and lay them on your table. You might need a steak knife to chew on this for a while tonight, but just keep up if you can. If you have any questions, or if you like the whole series of First Fruits, we started at the first resurrection. We went through the second resurrection, and then we went into the thousand years of reign with the bride of the first resurrection. You see, we proved in Luke chapter 12, verse 36, that Christ is not coming back to the earth to get a bride. You see, people are so far behind, it's pathetic. Ministers, blind, filthy lucre ministers that labor only for a seem-right way, and the more they preach it, the more it seems right, the more people follow it. The more truth you preach, the more they cast it to the ground and they prosper. But that's, you see, that's a sign of time, because that's the way it should be. Only a few that be that find the true way, the right way, the way of the truth will be spoken evil of by so-calls. When, you see, when you bring the truth, it confuses Babylon even more than she's already confused. And the Babylonian preachers, the 501(c)s, that collect the tithes and offerings of the unsuspecting sheep who are asleep in the bell boxes, sitting in the pews with their brain most of the time parked in the foyer, because don't do you any good to ask any questions. You ain't going to get no answers. And if you ask too many, you're going to be shown the way out, not the way in. Well, answers shouldn't cause you to be thrown out of these bell boxes or questions that would beg an answer. But most of the time, if you ask over two questions, you're a troublemaker. You see what I'm talking about tonight? And there's a lot of questions. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Let's look at it. After 2 days, he will revive us. What does that mean, Pastor Buddy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the timeline of history, we find that approximately 2,000 years ago, Christ, if we believe the Bible, came to a people called by his name, or for a people called by his name. After 2 days, he will revive us. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means 2,000 years out into the future, if we use a day for 1,000 years. And let's remember 2 Peter here at this point, chapter 3, verse 8. But don't forget this one thing, my beloved, that one day is with Yahweh, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So let's do 1,000 year approximately. Because you see that after the 2,000 years, we're going to have a revival. The Bible says so. After 2 days, he will revive us. So if we use 1,000 years as a day, then we've only been 2 days out in God's reckoning of time about where we are in this generation. Now, you see, there's an interlude between the 2,000 years, which could only be 2 days in reckoning, as I said, and the third day. Now, the Bible speaks again in Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we will live before him. Now, we've been proven, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, that a great host, and we gave you the number, they're recorded in the Bible, and it actually tells you who they are. All these 144,000, next time you hear a preacher talk that God's going to gather up 144,000 after he raptures the church out and send 144,000 preachers to the earth to preach, that is nonsense. Pure poppycock, if you will. It ain't going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The 144,000 were resurrected with him. They came out of the graves with him. These are the first ones to shed their blood for him after now the 1,000 years is finished. Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison. Now, what does it mean by that? Well, after a few days, a revival. And the third day is going to raise us up. Sometime within the third day, there's going to be a second resurrection. Because the Bible says on the third day, he will raise us up and we will live before him. Now, before all that happens, between the second day and the beginning of the third day, there's a gap. Here's how it goes. Revelations 20:1. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys of the abyss. And a great chain was in his hand, and he seized the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole inhabited earth, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss and shut it up and sealed it over him that he should not deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. And this, he must be freed after this. He must be freed a short time. Well, let's go back to the 2-day prophecy. If Christ is going to reign 1,000 years with his bride, this bride is a bride that was resurrected out of the first resurrection, according to the gospel of the 1 Corinthians. Paul, the author of the resurrection chapter 15 and 23, where he said, there is an order of the resurrection. Christ is the first one. Well, we know the Bible says in 52 that those who were in the graves, many that slept, came out of their graves after his resurrection and appeared in the holy city. Now, everybody that would believe that those that came up after Christ was resurrected, the many that came up, went back to the old city in Sodom where the Messiah was crucified. That ain't what happened. The holy city is New Jerusalem. It was a spiritual bride. This is symbolic, ladies and gentlemen, and the timelines are symbolic. Because only God knows how to count his time within the framework of the way he measures time. We have no way of knowing it. The Bible said, no man knows the time or the hour. But we can approximate our understanding into the scriptures and look at Hosea again, 6:2. After 2 days, he will revive us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for 1,000 years, now listen to me very carefully, the apostolic fathers who begin the first reign. Now, we have what is called the former reign. Now, looking back on it, it was former to them. It was the new reign on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said that the Holy Shekinah, the Spirit, the Almighty Holy Ghost, as we call it in the Pentecostal movement, for the 30 years that I ministered in a Pentecostal church, we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says she fell upon the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 souls were added to the church, which made 2,120 souls. Well, did you know that there's a timeline of 2,520 years in a persecution timeline, or for the Gentiles to rule and for the house of Israel to be blinded? There is a reason for it, and I've expounded on it quite often in Romans 11:25 and 26, that blindness in part has happened to Israel for a specific and a predestined purpose of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the timeline now. After 2 days, we're going to get a revival. And that's why that you will see and hear preachers like myself coming up on the scene around this time to preach nationally and internationally and spread the gospel, because this gospel, not the gospel that has been preached in the pretense of out of context with a sin, by the way. You see, after 1,000 years, Satan very effectively muzzled or killed or stifled the voice of the former reign prophets. You see, Peter, James, and John, and all these boys laying now at rest, having run the race. And now they stand in their lot as doth Daniel for the second resurrection when Christ returns, ladies and gentlemen. There's not going to be an interlude where Christ is going to come and reign literally upon the earth for 1,000 years. Now, let me give you a challenge here. This is not to provoke you. This is not to amuse you. This is just to bring it to your attention. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says that Christ is going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, not one. You see, the reign was in heaven with his bride. Now, after the reign of 1,000 years, after the church world, that seemed like We're talking about the church of Revelations, chapter 17, the great whore. You see, she rose up and began to present herself as the true church. She's actually a false church. She's a whore. And she sits upon seven hills. And she has filled the earth with a Christian doctrine of sin right, the false name, to worship under, and all the world will wonder after this powerful beast that has 10 heads and 7 horns. It's located in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. You see, Satan, very crafty. But did you know that it's Yahweh himself who will send everyone upon the earth whose names are not written in the Lamb's book, a strong delusion, to believe a lie and to be damned? And I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key to the abyss. Now, where's this at? Well, if you look at some of the wording of some of the translations, it says that Satan was bound in the deep. If you look out into the deep abyss of space from where we're located here on the planet and your vantage point, if you look out into the heavens, you will see planet systems into the galaxies, and we have billions of them, billions of star systems with planet systems attached. We know that to be a fact. Somewhere out there, Satan was taken by the angelic host, and he was bound there for a specific time, and then he's going to be loosed. The Bible says that the angel came down and cried with a loud voice with a chain in his hand. It's recorded in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into that just in a moment after I give you the timeline. And the gap theory. You see, there's a gap theory in the 70 weeks of the prophecy of Daniel. It mentions 69 weeks and a week set aside for specific purposes. Same thing with the 2-day and the 3rd day. There is a time gap around this page where Satan is going to be free very soon. You say, well, if he's not free now, boy, this world is in a bad shape. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that man doesn't understand, that the Bible says that God, Almighty Yahweh, made man upright, but he sought out many evil inventions. You see, man himself has a nature to be evil. And the Bible says in the last days that evil men will last worse and worse. It doesn't have anything to do with Satan. It has everything to do with the carnal mind, which is trying to establish its authority and rule the earth with a rod of iron, with the approval not only of Satan, but of Yahweh himself. You see, Yahweh has put it in their hearts and in their minds. The Bible says that all the world will wonder after the beast because Yahweh put it in their hearts and minds to do that. Isn't that strange? Well, friend, is it strange that Yahweh himself was the one that established Babylon for the very purpose of making his name known, as he did, the very purpose of Pharaoh, when he would encourage him to let his people go? The prophet Moses would walk out the door, and Yahweh would harden Pharaoh's heart. This is Yahweh doing this. And why did he do these strange things for prophetic utterances? The Bible said he did this because he wanted to use Pharaoh, the Babylonian prince, if you will. If we talk about Babylon, Babylon was set up and established by Yahweh, not by the devil. This is too great for the devil. Yahweh himself established these Gentile heathen kingdoms to punish his own people. Now, isn't that a strange thing? Notice this, 12:1, a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. She cried in pain, laboring to give the birth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that 10-headed beast that had the 7 heads stood right at her feet, because there was another sign in verse 3 of the same chapter. I saw another sign in heaven, a red dragon, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns on his head, 7 crowns, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of the sky. These are the angelic beings. These are the ones that ride the chariots in the heavens and go to and fro from one planet system to the next. How they do this is technology now that has become understood by the governments of this earth, as Satan and his children now are coming back from the deep, going to and fro once again, as they was in Genesis chapter 6. And for this cause, the Bible says in verse 7 that there was a war in the heavens when the throne was made vacant, when Yahweh himself dressed himself up in a body of flesh, of a shattered berry, created himself a body, and Yahweh himself in a flesh body walked upon this earth for 33 years. During this time, Satan made his strategic move to take over the throne of heaven. That's what the war was all about. That gives a little bit deeper understanding when this war started. But let me show you something. Satan knows the timeline to an extent. He knows Scripture very well. Probably the best man on the earth outside of the Messiah, who actually had the book written by holy men as they spake, moved on by the Holy Spirit. Satan himself is probably the most knowledgeable man in the Scripture, or being. He's a created being, ladies and gentlemen. He's a real being. He's not a figment of the imagination. He just don't run chili bumps up and down your spine, and you think that that's all there is to Satan. Satan and his angels are created beings. They are real beings. They live somewhere right now, and they're waiting for the right moment to return to the earth. And with them, they're going to bring a technology that will become second to none to knowledge that will be increased upon the earth in the last days, and he will teach man to war against the other beings that are in heaven. The Bible says his mission is to come together the kings and the mighty armies on the earth to do battle against the actual coming of the day of Yahweh. So Satan, naturally, would have to come first. His coming is between the first reign of the apostolic fathers, that is the former reign then, after they killed out all the apostolic fathers. Then Satan set up his church, the whole church, and for 1,000 years she existed, even to this age, where now the truth, you see, we have the Protestant Reformation in around 1,500 years. In AD 1,500, we had what we call the Reformation. Those that hated the whore, hated her flesh and burned her flesh with the fire of a gospel of a protest. These seem right also, but they came right out of the whore, wearing the same name and the same Trinitarian doctrine of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. These three are as one. That's what they came out with. And so then the harlots are just as bad as the whore, because their daughters calling upon the same name. And Satan has become the supreme being of a sin that way. And as he comes back to this earth, he's coming back. And the purpose of him coming back is to deceive and will, if possible, be very elect. And that day is now. There's more Babylon and confusion. If you listen to shortwave radio, if you listen to the television evangelist, the image preachers, as they test their image of pay, pray, and prosper, across the networks and across the radio waves as they are gathered together for the oneness of the 501(c) Universal One God Church of Satan. This church will become the religious body of the world power of the Illuminati in the hands of Satan himself, who will sit in the temple of God in the last days, and all this is being orchestrated and set up even as we speak, to deceive the very elect. Many of the righteousness or the righteous that wear white, the Bible said, will fall according to the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and chapter 12. Read that for reference. But I want to get in. I have a short time to get all this in, and I'm just so hurried to get all this in. I just wish I had time to really give it justice. And maybe sometimes in the festivals you can come and hear Pastor Buddy preach for 3 or 4 hours on this given subject. It is an awesome revelation. There was war in heaven, verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels made war with the dragon. Now, what was this war all about? Well, the Bible tells us. The war was because of the vacancy of the throne. When Satan realized that Yahweh had gone through with his plan to incarnate upon the earth in a flesh body, then Satan, taking advantage, led a rebellion to overthrow Yahweh from the throne and set himself in the heavens above the stars, which was the angels, but the loyal angels of Michael, the war angel, and Gabriel, and the host that stood loyal to the King of Kings. My, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that we image the very gods that created us in the very beginning, that these gods are full of war, and they themselves are battling each other? And we wonder why we do this upon the earth, even in the last days as I speak. This is coming to pass in the last days when we're going to have such a time of trouble, such as the world has never known from the foundation of time up until this present time. And ladies and gentlemen, we are only a few days, now give or take, a few years. When I say days, it's to be years, but we're only a few days counting Yahweh's time away from the revelations that Pastor Buddy is giving you tonight. And the Bible says that this war started over one man. Now, isn't that strange? Was it over the Messiah? No. Because Satan, being knowledgeable, knowing the law, and knowing the power of the law, that the law is the accuser of the brethren, and when this great body was fixing to pass by the birth and the death and the resurrection of the Messiah, when he brought in the new covenant, this covenant was to take away the daily sacrifices and the carnal ordinances that was against us. Nothing wrong with the law, but the law is spiritual. And most people are carnal. They don't apply it carnal. You see, people that think they keep the law, there's so many things for you to do under the carnal abstracts of the law that it's impossible, because the scripture says, I gave you the law and none of you kept it. If someone had been keeping the law, then there would have been someone righteous on the earth. And the Bible said the earth was searched, the heavens were searched, and beneath the earth was searched, and no one worthy to loose and open the seals, because there's none good, no, not one, and we've all sinned and come short. And therefore, Yahweh had to come himself as the acceptable sacrifice to perfect an offering that would be accepted at the throne of God without sin. And this embodiment of the flesh body of the Messiah was a perfect type, and Satan did his best to pollute, to corrupt, to tempt, and to overtake the plan of God through the Messiah upon the earth, and therefore it says that the angelic powers came down and attacked the woman that brought forth the man-child and persecuted her, and she cried out in pain, and it persecuted the Messiah and killed him, and it killed the 144,000 little infants that Herod slayed trying to kill the Messiah. These became the first fruit resurrections. Now, in the second resurrection, he's coming back not for the bride. He's done got her in the first resurrection. He's coming back to gather the children of the bride and the bridegroom together, and at his coming, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, as we go into the reasoning for the trouble that the Messiah caused when he came to this earth. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to a scripture here. Stay with me now. This may be very deep and confusing to a lot of you people, but you leaders that have studied in this, you know that Pastor Buddy is bringing it right down the line in the proper division of the Word. The Word has to be rightly divided. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, listen, I'm going to show you it was over one man that the kingdom of heaven and on the earth there was such a violence that you would quake in your shoes to know the results of this war that was in heaven and the awesome powers. Remember the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if it was so, we could probably overpower some of the evil that's going on today. But you see, that's not possible because our warfares are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds and the spiritual wickedness in high places, which is planning all of these things that have come down upon us in the last days. This was over one man's body. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Listen as I read. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence takes it by force. From that very day that John was entered the womb as the forerunner of the Messiah Christ in a flesh body, the demonic demons of the deep sprang into action and tried to capture a body that was going to be resurrected by the Messiah. All right, let's listen in on the scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. If you have a chance to read all of it, I'll cover it very quickly here. The Bible says that the Messiah took Peter, James, and John upon a mountain, and there appeared unto him, as he was translated in his glory and power, out of the cloud walked two men. One was Moses, who had been dead for 1,500 years, and Elijah, who had been dead for approximately 750 years. They walked right out of the cloud, and Peter and James and John were witnesses because they said, let us make here. They knew them. Let us make one tabernacle for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. They were keeping tabernacles up on the mountain in the little booths. And let us make a little booth for each of you. Now, here's what was transpiring in conversation. They was talking to the Messiah about his impending death at the hands of the serpent seed of the devil's children upon the earth. You say, Satan don't have any children upon the earth. There's where men with knowledge fail the centosity of Christ and the revelation. They seek for the high and mighty things, the seen right ways. Oh, they got these timelines and they got these raptures and things of this nature, and all it sounds so good to the church out there, and oh, they just fly away just any moment. They're just waiting any moment to have angels' wings where they go flying up into the air and they're going to disappear off the earth. And then Christ is going to come back and reign 1,000 years. This is their timeline garbage that they're dispensing in all of these bailbox assemblies. Now, there's a lot of good preachers out there, and there's a lot of good people in these assemblies that don't agree with that, just like Pastor Buddy. And so we have to stand outside the institutions in the streets and cry and pipe to them that the Bible says that you won't dance. You see, the majority of the people have already decided going to stay that way, and they love it that way. My people, he said, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and because you reject knowledge, I will reject you, and that's what's coming down. But John, from the days of John, the kingdom of heaven, suffered violence according to 11 and 12. Now, notice this. In the book of Jude, it gives us a very interesting revelation of why Michael and his archangel buddies went to war with Satan and his buddies. Jude 1 and verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, when contending, that's a word I'm using, gentlemen. It uses war in Revelations. Here it uses contending. If they had put war in there, you'd have probably mentioned it. But you can see these things are hidden from the lies and the truth, and they'll have no understanding. And revealed to the prophets, and then the prophets bring it to the sheep. And usually the prophets are going so fast and speaking so fast and bringing so many revelations that the majority of the blind and the unlearned and the ignorant and the fearful and the superstitious and the unwise, they can't catch it, but the sheep will. You see, my sheep will hear my word, and it doesn't matter how fast we talk. Because, you see, we've got a short time to get our message in, whereas these other preachers have got days and days, and all I want to talk about is nothing. We give you more scriptures per minute tied to the unwinding or the unveiling of the revelations, because we're sent for this very purpose to do so. Jude 1:9, that Michael the archangel, when contending or warring with the devil and arguing about the body of Moses, here it is, he resurrected in Matthew 17. Also in Matthew chapter 11, it talks about in verse 12 that from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. You see, Satan sprung in action. Here's the throne. It is vacant. Yahweh in the flesh body is on the earth. And he sends a great swarm of his seed out to kill Yahweh. You see, he's before the woman in a spiritual sense. But in a natural sense, it's Herod that is trying to kill the little baby. And in doing so, and he can't find any wrath, he is sent out, and in his raging jealousy, see, the devil don't care how much blood he sheds upon the earth. And from the righteous blood of Abel till the souls that were slain between the altar and Zechariah, till the last drop of blood that shed upon the earth before the coming, every ounce, every drop of that blood will be paid back to Satan and his friends. You can believe one thing, what Yahweh's got laid up for them that love and serve him, what a reward. But for the devil and his angels and those who are deceived by him, you're going to wonder at the awesome vengeance of Almighty God upon the head of Satan and his angels. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is the cause of all death, all suffering, all pain, all agony, all bloodshed, all evil. He is the perpetrator into the carnal mind of man as he sits in the temple of man, showing himself that he's God, ruling from the carnal kingdom of Satan. And the Bible said, in the days of these kings, which is mentioned in the book of Daniel, that the God of heaven, Yahweh, will set up a kingdom that will never be torn down. This is the little stone that the builder rejected, the stone that was cut out of the mountain by the great, powerful, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh, that every knee shall bow and only the sheep will eat and wear the name of Yahweh. All these other names are fabrications, illusionary, deceitful, and traditional. Jesus, 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 the kingdom of Jesus, making war with the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, which kingdom's going to win? What stone are you going to bet on? Are you going to bet on the rejected stone, the one that didn't fit in the New Testament, that is written 5,823 times in the Old Testament, but covered up with Lord and God? Are we going to stand in judgment because we didn't understand these things? Is there a man on the scene today of the world, preaching worldwide, on the radio of WWCR 507, alive every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, brought to you through the courtesy of Dr. Gary and our friends around the world that support Pastor Buddy and Dr. Gary and the friends of the Shepherd's Call? I mean, you're out here to get the job done. You're not interested in making a big ministry. Pastor Buddy has got all the enemies he needs. And the bigger my ministry becomes, the more enemies I have. I'm not asking and begging and pleading to be a well-known minister. I didn't ask for this job to start with. And Satan surely didn't hire me, and for that matter, he came for me. Well, I'm a prisoner of the love of Yahweh and the truth, and I can't escape. And I'm going to preach the gospel before I let the devil puts a kink in his back and sends him straight to hell where he belongs before his time comes. But I know better. That there is persecution laid up in the last days. Well, now, did you get that scripture that I just gave you? If I get carried away, wanting to preach here. Michael and the archangels warred with Satan as they contended for the body of Moses. Now, what in the world would Satan want with the body of Moses? From that body, in the symbolism of the body of Moses, is representative of a law. You see, the accuser of the brethren wanted the law to continue in the form of the body of Moses and the two tablets of stone to rule the left-right brain of man, to give him a seen right way. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not to hear the word. You can keep the law, whole law, and at the end, at one point, you're guilty of breaking it off. You see, Satan knows that. And as long as the law is there, it will accuse the brethren, and no brethren was able to overcome the law that was against them to keep them from entering in, because the law finds fault with every man, woman, and child that stands in shoe leather, that has to attempt to stand before God to be judged out of the things written in the book. No one found worthy. He is the Messiah, the perfect sacrificial offering to put an end to the power of the accuser. Oh, my God Almighty, how did I feel the great anointing by the grace of a living God who is sent from heaven to preach the revelation salvational gospel in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, all-wonderful, powerful name of Yahweh, that every knee shall bow, as did Pharaoh when he destroyed him and his army. You say, oh, you know, they, some preacher's going to resurrect Pharaoh and make him a hero and bring him into heaven. For this purpose, Pharaoh was created to bite the dust. And everything that wears the satanic outward carnal mind, flesh and blood, will not go back to the kingdom. It's the spirit people who have their names on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world that are chosen before the foundation of the world and called and purposed. And Yahweh truly knows them that are his, and all that are his will come to him, and those that come to him will no wise cast out. Angels who didn't keep their first domain. Jude 1:6. But deserted their own dwelling place, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. This is the abyss, this is in the deep, until the appointed time, and when the 1,000 years is finished. I remember, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. This is symbolic, but when that day comes, only Yahweh knows that day, that he will loose Satan. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think it's bad now, you just wait. Things are going to heat up considerably, because Satan is coming out of the heavens and he's going to appear as God Almighty himself, and all the world will wonder at the power and the magnanimous beauty of this wonderful being who's not been seen since the Garden of Eden, when he impregnated Eve and brought a seed that will worship him. Did you know that the sheep won't worship him? Did you know the sheep will suffer greatly at his hand? Did you know he'll wear out the saints of the Most High in the last days? What is he doing? You better get ready, not for a rapture. You better get ready for a capture, because they're making the guillotines, they're making the cattle cars, and they're equipping the prisons, getting ready for the sheep. Everybody's wondering about an injection, some kind of a pill, or a spill, or a thrill, or a capture, or a rapture. You better get ready for the first coming of the revelation of Satan since Genesis chapter 6, when he and his angels, his cohorts, left off of this genetic manipulation as they were chased off the planet and put into a place called the deep, with this war that is now going on in the heavens and upon the earth. We're in a battle, whether you realize it or not, and the time has come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and from such turn away. For in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John, when he resurrected John with Elijah, ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah said so. They said, well, the Bible says that Elijah's got to come and restore all things. We've got these false prophets still preaching that Elijah's going to come back. Well, the Bible said he done come, and they didn't recognize him. If he was here today, they wouldn't recognize him, because if they don't recognize the prophets of God today, they wouldn't recognize Elijah. Because Elijah had a word for him as John the Baptist. He said, who's warned you, you serpent seed, you vipers, you snakes? You think that Pastor Buddy is crude in his speech and is strong with the meat? Ladies and gentlemen, you couldn't even look in the face of John the Baptist. He was so fierce, the eyes were blazing with intent and purpose. Not a greater man that stood in shoe leather, because the spirit in him was Elijah. Oh my God. How that he came and what he preached, and for the cause they took his head. And he warned us to look out for the vipers. Ladies and gentlemen, they're walking around here in shoe leather, but they came from the seed of the serpent in the garden, the tare that was sown right there. People say, oh, Patrick, but there's no such thing as a devil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you welcome to the real world when the angelic demon, this marvelous creature that had planned and purposed through the conspiracy and the deception with the iniquity that was found in him, when Yahweh created him, there was already iniquity found in him. He had to prove himself, just like Cain said, if you do bid Cain, well and good, if not, sin lays at your door. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this out in its fullness. I just wish that I had time to bring it to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that they could see the reality in serving a true and a living God, that there is truth beyond what the bell box offers, that there is a way that seems right, and the end thereof is death. From such turn away and come back to the truth. It takes men and women that are willing to hazard their life and give everything they've got. You see, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. And if you're willing to put it all on the line, if you're willing to love him better than you love your house, your wife, your children, your own life, if you're so fanatical from daylight to dark that you preach the gospel in your heart and you go through daily singing the songs of deliverance, taking your hearts out of the willow trees and shouting it up on the housetop and preaching the gospel to every child of the King, which is a sheep, which will receive the gospel. Yahweh is not interested in saving the world. The world is evil, it's full of iniquity and wickedness, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, according to the law of righteousness. If you think that that day ain't coming soon, you better get a grip on reality, because I assure you that the time is now. After 2 days, I wish I had time. I've just covered about one-third of my message, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just going to have to hold it for another day, because I can't get all this in. You see, in 12:9, the great dragon was thrown down. But before he was thrown down, there's an interlude. Before he comes to the earth, he was sent to the deep, out into a planetary system. I just think that it's strange that today we got reports that there's strange things happening out there in space. The Bible said, look up, we will see signs in the heavens. And this wonderful planet that is soon to be announced to the world that we discovered life in space, you heard it from Pastor Buddy. There's others preaching it. I'm not exclusively in this club. You see, when I say that, I'm branded as an idiot. And for that cause, if you believe it, then you are classified in the same group. You see, the birds of a feather will flock together. Well, that's just how Satan's going to do it. When he comes from the heavens, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan is going to come down among you knowing that he's having a short time. But in 12, I heard a voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation of power and the kingdom of our God. And the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. You see, he stood there with the book of the law, God's own law, using it against God and the angels who themselves were walking upon the earth. The Bible said some have entertained angels unaware. You see, everybody down here is one of the angelic beings that had to be turned out of heaven to prove himself worthy to come back. We were trapped in the underworld, and it's called the third dimensional aspect of the underworld, where it's called the third heaven, where we were kept. And the door was shut because Satan had the keys of hell and death. And by the law, no one justified could come before him and demand a pardon until the Messiah took the doors literally of hell from off the hinges, walked in and demanded from the underworld God, the God of this world, he demanded the keys of hell and death. Ladies and gentlemen, he took them up. In Isaiah chapter 44:6, and he turned the revelation key in Revelation 1:17. There you are, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and have the keys of hell and death. Now I'm alive forevermore. Satan has never died. He was a created being, just like Michael has never died. He's never aged. He's the same age. And Satan and his warriors are coming out of heaven together, the kings of the armies of the earth together. Now, as the gospel is being revelated, this gospel will be allowed to preach to warn you, the one sheep. And after a short time of the prophetic utterance going across the earth without interruption, then Satan will come out of heaven. He will arrest and intimidate and kill and punish and persecute those that wear the great name of the King of all kings. Revelations 14:1 displays the first resurrection people that had the Father's name in their forehead. Well, I want to ask you a question tonight. What is the Father's name? Have you got it in your forehead? You better put it on, ladies and gentlemen. You better prepare to meet your God because he's coming back. Well, I got to get out of here. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, just write Pastor Buddy tonight. You're hearing me live on WWCR 5070 around the world on the Jewel of the South, located right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me just simply, Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip code 7824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to go to our website tonight and look over a wealth of information stored there, and we've got over 100 hours that is posted there, an archive of our messages. You can go up and select some of the messages, and you can download them, and you can play them on your computer. If you'd like to do so, simply do that tonight. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Pastor Buddy. That's www.pastorbuddy.com. Simple. www.pastorbuddy.com. That's all you'll need to get on our website. And you can listen and download messages if you'd like to. And listen, I warn you before you go there, if you're a milk drinker, don't go. If you're a meat eater, you want more meat, you're hungry, and you're thirsty for the revelation of truth, you can go there, and I believe you'll hear truth that has not been preached since the desist and decease of the former rain. You see, the latter rain's coming, ladies and gentlemen. After the third day, the age of the third day begins right about now. Listen to me real well. If we got 1,000 years out into the future before the Father comes, some would question that. But let's say he says he's going to raise us up in the third day. Now look for him in the third day. That could be 1,000 years from now, or it could be 2,000 years. But whatever day he set in the time schedule, and only he knows this, not even the angels in heaven know it. But the Father has set a day, and it's ever coming upon when the way the end will come, so it's a flexible time set for the Father to get the fruit, the precious fruit of the earth, into the granary, or the fish to be caught in the net, as I explained to you in part 3 of the first week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got it here. If you'd like to order the first fruit package of 4 CDs, just write Pastor Buddy or call me, area code 423-626-2172. If the line is busy tonight, I could show. Keep calling, or just leave your telephone number, and I'll call you back on my nickel. I got all week to get you in. So just leave your message, a brief message, and give me a number. I'll call you back, and we'll talk if we have time. Maybe tonight we can talk. A lot of people want to talk. Maybe after the broadcast, and we have so many interruptions. It's hard for me to talk in an hour right here. I could talk to you 4 hours on this subject, and you could never have to say a word. You just sit and listen. And I could unfold this great mystery and divide it for you by the Shekinah, the Holy Spirit, that's speaking to me tonight to give you the revelation of the reign of 1,000 years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on out of here tonight, and Yahweh bless you down the road. We'll see you next Sunday night on Goddamn CR 507 over the Shepherd's Bell. Pastor Lines, the 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 lines,